Does the Lord find us bearing fruit? Or has this proposal already been made concerning me? Proposal of a certain action was made by the husbandman. But we find the dresser of the garden pitying that fig tree. And so it was pitied to a certain extent. In Luke 13 and verse 8 we read, "And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also." The husbandman had already come and said he had been there for 3 years looking for fruit upon his fig tree. It's been there long enough, cut it down. And yet the dresser says, just wait. Give it one more year. Let me give it some special attention and we'll see what happens. This year here represents one last effort to summon Israel to repentance. Some think it represents the ministries of both John and Jesus, and even up till the time of Jerusalem's destruction in A.D. 70. Regardless of what it stands for in this parable, friends, it is symbolic of God's long-suffering and grace. Just as He was patient with Israel, friends, He is patient with us. Notice what He said, what Peter writes in 2 Peter 3 and verse 9. "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." The Lord doesn't want anybody to have to go to a devil's hell for eternity. He doesn't want that for any one of His creation. And so He's patient. He's long-suffering toward us. You remember what the Scripture says in 1 Peter 3 and verse 20 about God waiting patiently in the days of Noah while the ark wasn't preparing. Noah preached to the people 120 years. And his net results were 8 souls. 120 years. There can be no denying the patience of God toward us. And when we think about that in this context, Jerusalem was not destroyed until some 40 years after the Lord's death. However, friends, we must always keep in mind as well that His patience is not going to persist forever. Just like in the days of Noah when the ark was done preparing, God's patience had reached an end. And when God shut the door, friends, nobody could get in that ark that wasn't already there. God is indeed the God of second chances, but we only have so much time to take Him up on that offer. We read in 2 Thessalonians 1, verses 8 and 9. What will happen when the Lord's patience runs out? "In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of God of His power." Friends, while God may have patience with us, while there may be a certain pity for us, that patience will soon, or will one day, run out. Will we be ready when God's patience with this world comes to an end? The dresser of the garden asked for that year so he may do a couple of things. He's going to pamper that tree for a certain time. And we read again on in there in verse 8, "And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also." Why? "Till I shall dig about it and dung it." He's going to fertilize it. He's going to be sure that it gets everything that it could possibly need so that it might have a chance, a better chance to bear fruit. Friends, what that tells us is the Lord did all He could with and for a rebellious people. Think of how long He had borne with Judah. We go back to the time of the judges when every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Before that, and with Joshua, before that with Moses. During the time of Moses, God threatened to destroy the people and start over with him. God had borne with them through all of that. Finally breaking them from idolatry in the Babylonian captivity. And yet even now, they had still decided to rebel against the Lord. We read in Matthew 37 and 38. Jesus uttered these words, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate." How foreboding that must have been to hear that cross the lips of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To know that they were going to be cut off. And friends, just as He had done all that He could for that rebellious people, He is doing all that He can for us. He's given us His Word. He's given us specific instructions to follow if we would have salvation. In Titus chapter 2, we read in verses 11 through 14, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works." Friends, He went to the cross for me. He died that excruciating death instead of me. He's doing all that He can for us. He made that sacrifice for us. There's a condition placed upon that fig tree. It would be preserved by a certain outcome. We read there at the beginning of verse 9, "And if it bear fruit, well." If it bear fruit, well. Notice now that condition placed upon that fig tree, upon its salvation, was if it bear fruit. Friends, don't miss that little bitty two-letter word at the beginning of that condition. If. If it bear fruit. The same condition, friends, is placed upon each one of us. In John 15 and verse 2, the Lord is talking about Him being the true vine, the Father being the husbandman, and His disciples the branches. He says there, "Every branch in Me that beareth not fruit, He, the husbandman, the Father, taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit." He prunes it, He shapes it. Have we allowed ourselves to be shaped by God so that we may bear more fruit? We read in 2 Peter 1 and verse 10, "Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, ye shall never fall." It was entirely up to the fig tree whether or not it would bear fruit. So it would be preserved by a certain outcome, but on the other side of the coin, friends, it was going to be purged because of a certain end. You see the condition. If it bear fruit, well. But if we look again at verse 9, what happens? "And if not," the end of the verse says, "then after that thou shalt cut it down." In other words, friends, if no fruit was forthcoming, after that extended period of grace, the vine dresser stated that the fig tree would then be cut down. The choice of whether it would continue in the vineyard or be cut down and cast into the fire was entirely up to the fig tree. And friends, the decision of where we're going to spend eternity is entirely up to each one of us. We have a choice to make. Will we be fruitful? will we bear fruit in the kingdom of our Lord, in the vineyard of our Lord? Or will we be fruitless, only to be hewn down and cast into the fire? The choice is ours. Let's put away our Bibles. Let's take out our song books. We'll be ready to sing the invitation song in just a moment. Friends, when we look at the parable of the barren fig tree, we see several things. First of all, we see the property of a certain man. Our question concerning that, friend, is do you tonight, this very evening, do you belong to God? Are you His? We see in the parable of the barren fig tree that that fig tree was prepared in a certain fashion. It was planted. Have you been planted? Have you been baptized? Immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins. And once you've been planted, friend, do you realize? Let me get to my slide here. I missed it. Anyway, planted in a certain place. Once you've been baptized, you're planted in His church. Friends, once we've been planted in that church, once we are become a Christian, we are presumed to be a certain way. We are to bear fruit. Christians are supposed to live so as to bear the fruit, so that that is evidence of our Christianity and we cannot bring others toward God or to God. If we don't bear fruit, friends, our God will be perplexed by a certain condition. The Lord will be displeased, is displeased by unfruitfulness. He will then offer a proposal of a certain action. God will cut off those that do not bear fruit. There may be pity to a certain extent. God indeed is a God of second chances. The Lord will be patient. He's even pampered us for a certain time. The Lord will give us opportunities to obey His gospel, to repent of sin, to be His. But friends, the final two are left entirely up to us. We can be preserved by bearing fruit, or we can be purged because we're fruitless. The choice is ours. It's really interesting the way this parable ends. You see, the parable does not reveal whether or not the additional year was successful. We know, of course, that with Israel it wasn't. But friends, how the story ends for each of us is yet to be written. How will it end for you? We've got a choice to make. We have a decision going forward from this night. Will you be fruitful? Friend, if you're here this evening having never obeyed the gospel of Christ, why not? Jesus, our Lord and Savior, God Almighty, the Father in heaven, has been very clear on what we must do to be saved. And we find it here in His Word. Do you believe in Jesus Christ? Would you repent of sin? Would you confess His name before men and be baptized, immersed in water, be planted as that fig tree was planted, be planted in His church? The Father only has one vineyard. Are you in it? The answer to that question is no, friend. Why not tonight? Are you here this evening having done those things but fallen away? Friends, let us be very clear as to the meaning of this parable. If the fig tree did not bear fruit, if it did not change its ways, it was going to be cut off. It was going to be cut down, uprooted, and thrown into a fire. Friend, don't let that be your end. Would you come now while we stand and while we sing?